Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got an incredibly important radio transmission lined up for you today. Thank you so much for joining us. Charlie Sheen is coming up in the third segment of this hour with the winner of the 20 Minutes with the President contest. It is the 29th day of November 2009 on this Sunday edition. Webster Griffin Tarpley to talk about Climate Gate in the last 30 minutes of the radio broadcast today. And just so many other important police state issues and economic issues that we are going to be covering as well. On top of all that, four police shot dead in coffee shop in Washington State in a suburb of Seattle, killed execution style. Is it drug related? Or will they claim that Islamist terrorists did it? We are all trying to analyze this right now and find out what's happening. But again, Charlie Sheen coming up in T-minus 15 minutes from now, live with us on air. And then we're going to get the winner of the 20 Minutes with the President contest, video contest that was really the brainchild of Charlie Sheen, the idea of taking the 20 key points in an interview with the president, an interview, a dialogue he wishes would happen to bring more attention to 9/11 truth and why those of us in 9/11 truth question the official fable. So that is coming up. We are also going to be taking your phone calls later on, but the phones aren't open quite yet. Here is the stack on the Climate Gate information I have. We're going to be covering this after Charlie Sheen leaves us at about 45 after. He's going to do two segments with us tonight. Climate change. This is the worst scientific scandal of our generation. More than that, I can't think of a scientific fraud in the last couple hundred years bigger than this, other than the Nazis and their scientific fraud. Everything they did was claimed through their pseudoscience of the Aryan race and the world, the global government they were going to build based on eugenics. But when you realize that this is part of eugenics, the whole global warming, man-made global warming movement is, then it makes total and complete sense. Lord Mockton was on with us Friday for over an hour, an incredible interview. He went further than he's ever gone in the past. He said, shut down the United Nations, arrest Al Gore. The video clips of that and the key article written by Paul Joseph Watson are up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And on Google searches, the number one search in the last week has been Climate Gate. So even though a lot of the mainstream media is blacking out this news story and trying to spin it when they do report on it, the number one issue on the web is ClimateGate, fully eclipsing the fraud of man-made global warming. Also, I keep getting emails and phone calls here to the office saying I work for the oil companies. Later, I'm going to go over The Guardian, The New York Times, Bloomberg. Exxon chief backs carbon tax. That's London Guardian. Bloomberg, Shell calls for global expansion of cap and trade CO2 programs. We're going to play a video clip of an international TV ad running with Dutch Royal Shell calling for a global tax. Here's another article. Shell, cap and trade is a good thing. So I want to go over that and point out that the media keeps saying on healthcare that the insurance companies are against it when they wrote the bill and admit it. The oil companies are behind the cap and trade scam. It's all coming up. Plus, climate change data dumped, Times Online, Times of London. The East Anglia head UN university that they got all their data from has now destroyed the data. They're in a lot of trouble. That's coming up as well. Stay with us. We're going to cover Climate Gate, then Charlie Sheen live, ladies and gentlemen. On this Sunday, 29th day of November 2009 edition.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I'm here live Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm Alex Jones, your host. You have founded the front lines of the info war. It's not about left and right. It's about justice. It's about integrity. It's about exposing the world government openly being set up by a private group of central banks across the planet. And there could no longer be any denial. The head of the UN, the head of the EU, Al Gore, all these world leaders are announcing planetary government is here. And the global cap and trade, cap and tax system is the funding mechanism for their world government. And we are now more than a week into ClimateGate. Internal emails and documents from inside the East Anglia University in England, the main university, sourced and used as one of three climate centers to study man-made global warming, engaged in premeditated fraud with the UN, the NASA Goddard Space Center, and more. We'll give you all the latest developments on that coming up. We are also, of course, going to be interviewing Charlie Sheen live on air coming up in the next segment on this 29th day of November 2009 on this live Sunday edition. Charlie Sheen is coming up this evening with us live on air with the winner of the 20 Minutes with the President.com contest. And we'll give you more details of that coming up this evening. Very appreciative to Charlie and having the idea to do this and all that he's been doing, exposing false flag stage government terrorism like 9/11. We are here to expose frauds. We are here to expose hoaxes. We are here to tell the truth about what's happening in our planet. Justice be done, may the heavens fall. Tell the truth, let the chips fall where they may. Okay, Friday I wasn't intending to come in and do a live radio show, but Jesse Ventura contacted me and said, Alex, I'm getting ready to do a big media blitz Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday ahead of American Conspiracy. Well, that's the name of his new book. The show was going to be called American Conspiracy, a name I coined. But instead they call it Conspiracy Theory. Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on True TV, their big show of the winter, December 3rd, next Wednesday. So I had Jesse Ventura on for more than an hour Friday. And thank God we came in because Lord Monckton, Viscount, British Viscount, contacted us and said, I would love to come on Friday. So we had Viscount Christopher Monckton on, blowing the whistle on the world government takeover plan. An incredible interview posted at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And he, in a devastatingly efficient and focused fashion, like a particle beam at the CERN reactor, focuses in on all the lies and fraud of ClimateGate. It's an amazing interview. I'm tempted to re-air it this week or maybe even next Sunday because it is so powerful. Webster Griffin Tarpley joining us, historian, economist, to break down the scientific fraud of man-made global warming in the aftermath of ClimateGate being the number one news story worldwide in the last week. And I'm very proud that Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com last Thursday were amongst the first major alternative news websites to link to the WikiLeaks documents with ClimateGate. Now, what has happened? We predicted last Sunday that the United Nations, NASA, and the British university that were caught doing this would come out and say that the emails were fake. But actually, what we're partially right, partially wrong. They came out, they got called by the Associated Press first. They returned calls to the AP first. They got calls 7, 8, 9 days ago from other media. And the AP said, did you write this? And the head scientist, Jones and others, said, yes, we did write these emails, and there's a criminal investigation on who leaked these. Now more and more it looks like the media is calling it a hack, but it was internal scientists below these guys who were worried about going to prison, and that's in the emails for lying that leaked it. That's the evidence now beginning to come out. But instead, they've said, well, they're taken out of context. And mainstream media has written headlines like, email's not accurate. Then you read the sub article that says, well, they really wrote this, but it was taken out of context. People didn't read the whole 1,000-plus emails and hundreds of internal documents. Well, now the research community's had a chance to go over them, and it's even worse than what we said. Not only is the United Nations, NASA, and this head climate research facility in England, East Anglia University in Eastern England, caught lying, but they're in there talking about how to persecute other scientists. They are in the emails talking about how to block peer-reviewed journals from publishing science and real scientific readings that prove them to be liars. And they're in there talking to the British government and the U.S. government about how to block FOIA requests. And they're in there talking to the White House science czar, John P. Holdren, on how to block the release of this information. And it turns out the BBC, almost 6 weeks ago, 5+ weeks before this was released to the mainstream, the BBC was given these emails and documents and decided to cover it up. So they're in a lot of trouble right now. But even more importantly, now we've learned that in the documents that were released on WikiLeaks, the big site where whistleblowers release information, and the university has confirmed that this is their computer programs, multiple programs, that in the code to the program are notes by the programmer for others using it saying, this is a fraud, it's getting colder, here's how you cover it up, here's how you manipulate the data. So we have the very software from the computer program that was used to integrate all this climate data around the world in the notes on the programming itself saying this is a fraud and a lie. Now in New Zealand and Australia, and it's coming out in Canada as we speak, that universities and UN-affiliated weather climatology centers have been caught, ladies and gentlemen, have been caught. Listen to this. We have this all linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's London Telegraph, the Daily Mail out of Canada, all mainstream news. That's the big New Zealand papers, ABC News, Australia. They have been caught not just faking the data at the UN climate centers, but the nations themselves have been caught cooking the books as well to get the fraud in line. Because in the last decade, real climate scientists, independent climate scientists, would call up universities and groups and get their data and then go match it to the UN's data, claiming Australia or Canada or the US or Europe or Russia were hotter, and saying, well, their actual buoy data from the ocean or their actual weather center data shows it was cooling. Why do you say it was heating? Did you fake that data? And they'd say, oh, we just made a mistake. So they started getting caught doing this a decade ago, right around 9-10 years ago, depending on the nation. And so they began to integrate together and get their fraud on the same page. This is a massive criminal conspiracy. Senator Inhofe has called for criminal investigations. Lord Monckton, part of the House of Lords, Viscount, one of the biggest positions in the government over there and the peerage, on this radio show Friday, called for shutting down the United Nations and arresting Al Gore and arresting the head UN scientist, Professor Jones, and arresting all of these people. So that is all coming up. Now, Charlie Sheen is going to be with us for 2 segments. In the first segment, it's just going to be Charlie and I. Then we're going to have the winner of 20 Minutes with the President contest. We'll tell you all about that contest. Most of our listeners are fully aware of it. The website is 20minutesofthepresident.com. You spell out 20 minutes with thepresident.com. Fully spell it out. It's not a numerical prefix at the beginning. You have to spell it out. We tried to get the domain and couldn't. So 20minutesofthepresident.com. And you can see all the great 9/11 research that Charlie Sheen engaged in. And it's been over 150 videos were submitted. Dozens of them were of incredible quality. It's reached already millions of people. Just his message to the president has had several million views online that we know of, 900,000 just on one YouTube channel. So Charlie Sheen coming up after this quick break. We are live on this 29th day of November, this Sunday transmission. Stay with us. We'll be back with Charlie Sheen and then the winner of the 20 Minutes with the President video contest. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited, ladies and gentlemen. We have Charlie Sheen live with us on this November 29th Sunday edition. And Charlie really needs no introduction. The star of Two and a Half Men, star of Spin City, so many blockbuster films. Of course, the great son of Martin Sheen, the brother of Emilio Estevez. He had the idea 3 months ago to really write his thoughts about 9/11, his questions, like six of the 10 9/11 commission members saying that the official story was a fraud and a lie and there was a cover-up. John Farmer, the head lawyer, saying it was a criminal cover-up. Charlie wanted to use his notoriety selflessly to try to have a real debate about this, thinking, gee, we've got a new president. Surely this should happen. So Charlie Sheen's with us, and in a few minutes we're going to bring up the winner. I don't know if I should announce this or if Charlie should, of the 20 Minutes with the President video contest. Charlie, it's great to have you here with us, my friend.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. They didn't punch you up yet. That's their specialty. I'm just joking. Hey, it's good to have you here, buddy.
It's great to be here, man.
I mean, really, this is an exciting contest. We got over 150 great entries. Maybe for listeners that just tuned in, give them some background on your questions of 9/11, why you came up with the idea for 20 Minutes with the President, and then the subsequent contest.
Well, you know, I felt because it was our first, you know, new president in almost a decade, and that the entire movement had been stonewalled so terribly and so completely by the Bush administration and by the mainstream media, that I felt, based on, you know, all of his campaign promises and other rhetoric, that he might be the guy that I could go to establish the message of, you know, new president, new investigation, because here we are this many years later, and there's just too many unanswered questions. There's just too many holes in the story that you could fly planes through, and it just I felt that if I created this, I guess, a piece of, you know, fantasy journalism, but rooted in and supported in fact, that if we put this out, that it would generate enough attention and enough pressure that on the Obama administration that they perhaps would be forced into giving me this time. But as we all know, here we are a few months later, and nothing of the sort occurred. In fact, what was really interesting, and I think it really showed their hand, is how they refused to acknowledge this document, other than, you know, with Fox News and a few others, just radically blatant hit pieces on me and not the facts and not the document. And so I think that was really telling, that they just went back to their old bag of dirty tricks and, you know, attacked the man and didn't deal with the message, you know.
Well, Larry King, a little bit of inside baseball, he wanted to interview you but then couldn't find anyone to debate you. And the same thing happened over and over again. They wanted to have one-sided events where they would bash you and you couldn't respond, or where they were going to have two people gang up on you and you against them. And so it never happened. The debates never happened because they wanted to have a rigged fight.
Well, yeah, it was definitely a fixed fight. And also, you know, you and I had discussed this and looked at the emails, and in our combined experience, we both felt that it was it was just a, you know, a minefield and a, you know, or a bear trap that we'd be walking into. Even though they presented it as though it would be a fair and balanced debate, with both sides getting equal time and blah blah blah, but I think we both knew that it was just an ambush, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, you were contacted by so much media that wanted to have one-sided interviews or debates, or have you taped and then have somebody else live to counter you, that I didn't even contact you about the CBC. The Fifth of State wanted to interview you, and then they actually released the interview live on CBC in Canada last week, and it's actually not just a fair piece. It admits that they contacted the FBI This is the first time mainstream media has reported on this. And Ted Olson, Barbara Olson's husband from Flight 77, they admitted on CBC that the FBI told them that, yeah, she didn't make these phone calls. She never talked to him. It's all a lie. So that is a big deal. And that's something that came out of this, because Fifth of State originally started doing this report just on the issue of Charlie Sheen going public, but then you never talked to him because I never told you about the contact.
Right.
And so now the truth actually came out. That's a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal. And I think that story even broke, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was like February of 07 when the FBI first admitted that.
Yes.
And that's actually one of the 20 bullet points in 20 Minutes with the President. And I just think that is the mother of all lies. That is the one that says, wait a minute, folks, wait a minute. If that call didn't go through, if they completely lied about that, then how do we explain all the other phone calls? How do we explain all the phone calls and especially the one that gave us our battle cry, let's roll, you know?
Well, of course, I mean, first they said, oh, all these phone calls got made. And then they said they weren't from air phones. And at 20,000, 30,000, 33,000 feet, they're making calls. Phones in 2009 don't work from that altitude. It's fake. And mothers were interviewed saying their son would say, it's me. You believe me, don't you? And then it would be one-way conversations with the few phone calls. And now the Barbara Olson call is fake. I mean, that's just one of thousands of smoking guns. I mean, how much trouble did we have at your house doing the research, riding 20 minutes with the president over those two or three weekends I spent with you, Charlie? Some days, 14, 15 hours a day, you know, going back over the research.
Right.
Just trying to boil it down to 20 points. It's a orgy of evidence.
Oh, yeah. No, but I think we did a really good job, if I can say so myself, of picking out the 20 that were really, really just completely bulletproof. You know, I think the ones that we put in there, I think that's why mainstream media had such a problem with it, because they looked at it and they went, oh, crap. Now what? Now what? Oh, let's just, you know, let's just accuse him of all that crap he did 20 years ago, you know, real or imagined, and we'll just tear him apart and dismiss this thing, and it'll go away, you know. But with the contest, excuse me, which we're going to talk about, it's given it a second and a third wave of life into the, you know, with YouTube and other media outlets, you know. And I think it's really important, because those videos are going to exist and be available, just like the document will, for years to come, you know, and will continue to fuel debate and hopefully wake people up and, you know, at some point bring us closer to the truth.
Well said, my friend. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with the winner of 20MinutesWithThePresident.com contest. The winner is now posted at Infowars.com. Over 150 great videos introduced. But the gentleman we're going to be talking to on the other side of this break after the news is the winner. And it wasn't a hard choice. And Charlie will tell that story. We'll talk to the winner on the other side of this break. I'm Alex Jones. Charlie Sheen is our guest. We'll be right back. I liken Charlie Sheen politically to the unicorn, this mythical creature, you know, top star, A-plus super list, doesn't get involved in a lot of political issues, a very intensely private person, but went public for 9/11 Truth 3.5 years ago, first on this radio show, and since then, Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura and so many others we've educated, former German defense ministers, now the number two in the Japanese government, the vice president going public here on this show. Charlie's courage, every time I talk to one of these people, is what spurred them to first investigate it. And he's just such a great person, and I salute him, because, you know, he's somebody who makes tens of millions of dollars a year, has so much to lose, and gets attacked for doing what he does. That courage resonates with everyone. Charlie, announcing the winner. You want to do it, or should I?
I'm going to let you do it, Alex.
All right, Christo Garcia is the winner.
Tomorrow,
Tomorrow I'm going to announce second and third place myself because I judge those. His video, 20 Minutes with the President, it's linked up on Infowars.com. Charlie, we're bringing him up, but why did you choose watching that 150-plus videos, one of the first that came in? You watched them all. Why did you choose 20 Minutes with the President by Christo Garcia?
It was so obvious, Alex, that that was the one to beat. And so the fact that it showed up early, it gave us something to... gave us a phenomenal piece to gauge the others against or to judge the others against, and there was nothing that that could unseat it as the front runner, and it just sat on top. And you know, I tip my hat to all the other entries and all the other interpretations and the effort and the heart and the passion that went into all those other creations, and I'm so deeply flattered that people took that much time and that much energy to create these videos. But Christo has just sat there as a short film, as a mini, you know, fantasy documentary that just was just head and shoulders above everything else, and it really told the story and it boiled down the facts. And it was intense, and it was well produced, it was well shot, it was well acted. It was just, there was something about it that was just wow. This guy really cares. He's really done his research, and he is clearly the winner.
Let's bring up Christo Garcia right now. Christo, I mean, did you know you were going to win? You introduced it so early. How did you get the jump on everybody? How did you? I mean, who are these great actors?
Well, that's a few important questions. The first thing I'd like to say is I followed the story from the minute that it dropped. I went to my wife, actually, and said, oh, my God, Charlie got to sit down with Obama. And then when I heard a week later there was going to be a film contest, I knew I was going to enter into the fray. I knew that immediately. And, you know, I have to say that I might not, well, I wouldn't be here right now if I hadn't seen Platoon and Wall Street. I was heavily influenced by those films when I was younger. And then when I got handed Terror Storm, that woke me up to everything around me. And so today I'm standing on the shoulders of you two giants. And I'm thrilled to be here. But from the first moment I knew that this was going to be a contest, I knew I was going to enter it. I wasn't worried about winning as much as participating, because I feel that everybody has to get this word out.
Exactly.
And I was so passionate about it. I just happened to be, I mean, I was working on it all day, every day until it was finished, and I uploaded it very quickly, and I was just ready to send it out to the world because I figured the sooner the better.
Well, I like your attitude, because everybody that made a film, they contributed to getting the truth out about 9/11 and all these serious questions. Everyone's a winner. And I think you won, not just because you have the talent, but because you had the right spirit, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, I would totally support that. And Christo, maybe you could talk a little bit just about how you interpreted the document into the visual presentation that you created. What was it that, because I asked you during the break, did you film all the dialogue and then edit it down, or did you, you know, edit the document and then film that?
Well, it was a twofold process. The first thing was I didn't want it to feel too stagey. I wanted it to work more as a film, so I felt that I needed to trim some of it, which sort of broke my heart because I felt that I needed to make a film that would really appeal to the novice of 9/11 rather than our expert viewpoints, because we're so familiar with all the points that it just becomes second nature that you know what the truth is. But for someone who doesn't know anything, I wanted to really crystallize it down, you know, to just those few, the fewest things I could that would stick in people's mind where they really had to, you know, address those points. And many people have told me that, you know, it's a very powerful piece because of the way I condensed it. Now, after I shot all the footage, I still did a little bit of trimming, but I did most of the adaptation with the two main stars, Marcio Catalano and Greg Reed, who were just fantastic.
Yeah, they were, for sure. Yeah.
Well.
And did they memorize everything? Were they using cue cards? Because the dialogue got, you know, it's pretty dense in certain points, or is he just referencing as though he's holding the notes like I was in the document?
Well, it was a combination. There's a lot of complex dialogue. So actually, in the folders, they held the script.
I got you. That's kind of what I figured.
In between takes, I was picking off all my cutaways of them fumbling with the folders and all those nice little close-ups that I did as cutaways. I shot the whole piece in one afternoon in 4.5 hours from beginning to end.
Did you really?
So, yeah, I had a really clear idea of exactly what I was going to do. Everything from the exterior scenes to the scenes with the National Security Advisor warning the aides not to talk about your arrival, et cetera. Sure. That was done from 3 p.m. to 7:30 in the evening.
Well, this film looks like it has a bigger budget than the $14,000 prize. And I know Charlie and I privately spoke. Hopefully, if you'd like, put out on YouTube at your site, Christo Garcia is the handle. Put out the extended director's cut. I know I would certainly like to see that. What about you, Charlie?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, no, I would. I mean, I would even like to see outtakes, whatever. It's just, it's such an impressive piece that anything that went into it, I'm terribly curious about. You know,
I've got tons, man. I mean, it broke my heart to even trim. There was every little trim. You know how the business is. I mean, it's like I just if it's not absolutely the most important thing you're listening to, you got to yank it. I just really wanted to boil it down to something very powerful. But, yeah, I've got a lot more material. I'd be happy to do something longer. But, again, on YouTube, I didn't want to do a two-part thing. I wanted to exist as a one-clip piece that people could digest.
Got no, it. I think that was smart.
Gotcha. Wow. Wow, well, congratulations, man. I mean, it's you really found the spirit of the piece. And translated that visually and dramatically, and it's just so impressive, and I'm just so flattered that that something that was just an idea, you know, turns into that. It's I guess that's how we make change, you know.
That's all it takes is an idea, and then you hand it to someone else, and now other people who have watched it, perhaps they will take it even further along. There's something about the truth that it doesn't need to be supported. Like, lies take support and effort and complicated, you know, conspiracies, et cetera, but the truth exists on its own. It doesn't need anything. So all I was doing was just passing along what you gentlemen had handed to me earlier.
Mm. Got it. Wow. Yeah, it's like I've said to Alex, the truth is unchanging, you know? The truth is a constant.
Yeah, to the Greeks, they considered it a divinity.
Yes.
You know, and you don't want to go up against the truth or you're fighting a losing battle.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to talk to you guys behind the scenes during this break. I know you're both busy, but time has run out on us. We'll see if I can bring you both back to say bye on the other side. And a few final comments from Charlie Sheen. But if you want to watch the video regardless, it's 20 minutes with the president. Put that into YouTube. Put it into Google. It's Christo Garcia Production. Christo Garcia is the YouTube handle. We have it linked right now up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I just want to thank Christo Garcia for being part of this. I want to thank Charlie for calling me up 3.5 months ago and saying, I was sure Obama would keep his promise for change. We got to work on something. I've got an idea. 20 minutes with the president to see this grow. There's more chapters coming in the future. That will remain under wraps until later. But I just want to thank Charlie Sheen and Christo Garcia and this huge communal effort of truth lovers coming together. We'll be right back. Well, he had an idea, Charlie Sheen, director, producer, TV star, film star, and it has grown and grown. 20minuteswiththepresident.com or Infowars.com. Christo Garcia, the winner, first place, $14,000 paid by Charlie. I said, we'll have second and third place. I'll pay that. I'm going to be covering that in the next few days. It was a lot of other great entries, but Christo's really was a cut above the rest. We appreciate everybody's effort. Everyone wins by participating in telling the truth. Going back to Charlie Sheen, Charlie, I mean, when we talk privately, you discuss integrity at the end of the day is all that matters. And I know this 20 minutes with the president is really feeling good right now, doing the right thing.
Oh, absolutely, Alex. Absolutely. And the response to it, regardless of you know, how, you know, the mainstream media dealt with it, if you read the blogs and the postings and everything else, you can see that it really it really struck something with the people. It really struck something. It really, you know, reignited the truth movement on some level. It just, you know, even, you know, people on the street would come up to me randomly and say, you know, I didn't believe any of that crap until I read your piece. And I went, oh, wait a minute. That's a lot of that stuff is hard to debate or disassemble. And it's, wow, man, you've really opened my eyes and I'm going to start spreading the word. And it's like, you know, it's like I told you at the beginning of this thing, if we can, you know, change one person's view and then they tell one person and so on, that's how any movement begins. And so, you know, I don't look at this as, you know, 20 Minutes with the President as any kind of a failure because we didn't wind up on Larry King Live or, you know, GMA or whatever. You know, I look at it as a real victory and as a real hope that people are, you know, ready to embrace the truth.
Well, it was a total success, but every time we got the emails or you got them and you were sending them to me, it was, we want to interview you for the news, and you knew they could cut all that up. When you wanted a 50-50 live debate, they would not give it to you because they wanted to be able to manipulate and play with what you were saying.
Of course. Of course. It's what they do. It's how they do it. It's what they do all day, every day. And then, you know, it's, you know, as long as they've got them as their mouthpiece, then, you know, I don't want to say we're stuck in an uphill struggle, but we've got our work cut out for us, people. You know, there's no question about that.
At the same time, the mainstream-controlled corporate press is not going to tell us how much success we've had. Charlie, you talk about people on the street coming up to you. I've been with you when, you know, people come up and they bring up 9/11 Truth and thank you for what you've done. But I'm just little old Alex Jones with a radio show and documentary films I make. My cousin was visiting from Chicago and it was my dad's birthday, so we were getting food for the party and buying a late gift. And literally in Austin, every person we walked into, every person in a parking lot, all the people at the gas station, the guy behind the counter, everyone. I mean, it was like a hallucination or something. I couldn't believe it. Everyone was serious and focused and saying, revolution's in the air. The truth is, you know, there. We're standing up. You know, one guy mentioned Charlie Sheen, 20 Minutes with the President. There is an explosive awakening happening, and we're just little ripples on the surface.
Mm. Wow, that's so exciting to hear. And if it's happening on that level, hopefully it's happening domestically and globally, you know.
Well, it was your courage 3.5 years ago going public for 9/11 Truth that I clearly have tracked and chronicled as a trigger point, because people really resonated with the courage. They knew you're intensely private, and I'm not trying to sit here and, you know, heap worshipful support on you, but we do need to start respecting and appreciating courage again. Charlie, why did you go public for 9/11 Truth? I mean, we know you questioned the official story, but why did you take the plunge when so many other A-listers I've talked to know the truth but are scared?
I couldn't sit back and pretend like everything was okay and it didn't matter. It was because I was looking at how the state of the world was developing and how these evil bastards were ruining the entire planet and all of humanity with their evil agenda. And I just I couldn't sit back. And, you know, I think we spoke about this before. I first came out on the 1-year anniversary of the war, and so it wasn't just a random day. You know, it was a very specific time to remind people, hey, wait a minute. Let's take a look back. Let's look at the reason we're there, and, you know, and the reason we have plans to continue through the entire region, you know. So it was just one of those things where I couldn't not do something. I had to come forward, you know.
Well, we appreciate it, and it's another example of standing up, doing the right thing, in the end having a huge effect. Christo, you were trying to say something when I interrupted you.
I was just going to say that the patriotism and courage that you two gentlemen have shown inspired me to then begin making my own videos. And that's how movements grow. And it's just crucial that just one person will stand up and say, hold on a second, that's not the truth, and I'm going to stand up for the truth. And then you see that all the dominoes start to fall in the other direction.
Yes, of course. And also, Krista, we cannot wait, you know, we can't wait 50 years like we had to with Pearl Harbor. You know, we can't wait 30 years like we had to with Gulf of Tonkin. We can't wait, you know, 40 years like we had to with JFK. We just can't wait because it's like, you know, the late, great Aaron Russo so eloquently said, you know, in his final interview documentary with Alex, you know, until we understand 9/11, we cannot move forward. And that was such a powerful message that that he was able to leave behind. You
well,
know,
the
and
time
it's
now.
So, it's
I
so
mean,
true.
The time is now for action. And one of my favorite Alex Jones quotes is, if you want to rush, why don't you try fighting tyranny?
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
Because it gets me up every day now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's always a fight to be had when you're when you're carrying that torch, you know.
Well, Charlie, you are a chip off the old block. Your dad is such a great guy and so informed, and the times I've got to hang out with him, just another amazing individual. I know your father and mother and brother and other family are very proud of the work you've done with 20 Minutes with the President.
Yeah, no, they were thrilled. They were concerned for me and my family's safety and all of that, but, you know, most of that stuff just happens in the movies. But, yeah, no, and they were really proud, and they were really supportive. I still think, Alex, we should have videoed the night that my dad and I read it together to make sure that the final draft was ready to be published.
I know. Sitting there watching you and your father, him playing the part of the president, which he's so good at, you playing the part of Charlie Sheen yourself, watching him sitting around that table outside under the Los Angeles stars was just amazing. And I do wish, who knows, down the road, maybe we can set up a camera and get your dad to read 20 Minutes with the President with you.
Why not? Why not? I mean, it's, you know, he's so supportive of the entire movement. He's not as public as I am about it. But he has, you know, he has gone on the record, and I saw a video of him.
With Building 7, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. He said he didn't want to believe any of it until he looked at that, and he went, wait a minute, that just doesn't add up, you know. And I said, well, Dad, here's about 500 other examples that don't add up, you know.
Well, so, gentlemen, closing comments as we end this hour.
Christo?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for giving me the opportunity to turn your script into a film. It was quite an honor. And, Alex, if you want me to make a docudrama about your life, I think that all American patriots need to be brought into the mainstream as stars. I think we need more visibility for you, for Ron Paul, and for other characters that are willing to step up and tell the truth.
Mm. Well, I'm flattered because we haven't really mentioned that Christo's made TV shows with P. Diddy and Victoria Gotti and others. So you're a big guy in TV yourself. Obviously, why you won, but everybody was open for the contest. But thank you. Charlie, 30 seconds. Closing comments, my friend.
I think the three of us, Christo, you, and myself, need to get together and plan the next secret project that we're going to launch into the face of tyranny.
Oh, could this be the guy to be part of your next operation?
Yes, indeed. I think we found our man.
Charlie Sheen, Christo Garcia, the winner of 20 Minutes with the President. The video's up on Infowars.com, the winner. Next hour, I'll get into ClimateGate, the latest vaccine deaths and recalls. It's all coming up as we warn the public about the New World Order. Charlie Sheen, Christo Garcia, I'll say bye to you during the break. I want to salute both of you. We are certainly brothers in arms, fellow travelers for liberty and truth and freedom. And I'm just glad to be alive and to know you. I love you both. We'll be right back.
I love you too. Thank you, Christo. Congratulations. I'll talk to you guys soon.
You guys rock.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
no warning signs that I'm aware of.
And it was a revelation that the White House had no intention of making public.
President Bush was told in August that Osama bin Laden might be planning an attack involving the hijacking.
Could have predicted.
Nobody in our government, at least.
August 6th, PDP.
I believe the title was bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
70% of family members' questions were never answered during the 9/11 Commission report.
Lee Hamilton and Thomas Keene said they were set up to fail.
I mean, I'm a member of the commission. It's a scam. It's absolutely disgusting.
The questions, Mr. President. The questions.
Building 7 ablaze at the moment and apparently getting ready to collapse.
Building 7. Freefall collapse.
Well, no, there's number 7 coming down. The excitement and the fun that people get watching an old building being demolished, and they wired very carefully for days, and it's a very careful operation.
Third time today. It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
This one of these things is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy.
We are getting information now that one of the other buildings, Building 7 in the World Trade Center complex, is on fire and has either collapsed or is collapsing.
The Pentagon. Vanishing airplane.
My close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual site of the building that's crashed in. And as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around, which would indicate that the entire plane crashed into the side of the Pentagon.
Firefighters and police describing explosions. A lot of them.
The secondary explosion. We've got numerous people covered with dust from the secondary explosion.
Just floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like as if they had detonated.
Yeah,
as if they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
Looks sort of like the building just demolished.
Even if there was no secondary explosives in the building.
Kind of like gunfire. You know, bang, 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 bang. And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse?
To me, it sounded like an explosion.
Chief Albert Turry told me that he tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place. And then an hour after, there was another explosion in one of the towers here.
Sybil Edmonds, FBI translator, breaking her gag order.
All our intimate relationship with bin Laden and Taliban. We did carry very intimate relationship with these people all the way up to September 11.
Bin Laden was spirited into this military hospital in Rawalpindi for kidney dialysis treatment. The military had him surrounded. They were saying that Osama bin Laden had to be watched carefully and looked after.
NORAD standing down. Where were the planes?
On now to one of the eeriest moments amid the carnage of 9/11. A mysterious plane was seen flying right over the president's residence.
The E-4Bs over New York and Washington, otherwise known as the Doomsday Planes.
It has never been officially explained.
Cell phones working at impossible altitudes. Solicitor General Ted Olson receiving phone calls that the FBI says were never made.
What happened during that call? This is the only information we have on these terrorists.
She was able to call him twice. How she could pull that off, we don't know, but she did.
These are the questions, Mr. President. These are the questions. They go on and on.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. I come to you today representing families and victims.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Folks, I don't like to tell inside baseball stories. I don't like to build myself up because that's actually dangerous to a certain extent. with the establishment. But one of the biggest and most important magazines in the country is coming here Thursday to interview me for a cover story. And I'm not going to talk about it until it's published. But the guy that is coming to interview me, I looked him up, and he's a top spy, a top former government spy chief. I mean, I have spy chiefs coming to interview me. And he said, it's not a hit piece, Mr. Jones. We know you refuse those. This is an assessment of you that the establishment wants. I mean, they're even honest with me on the phone. And when I tell you that I can be scuba diving in Honduras, I may take one trip a year to go scuba diving. And it's not just the tourists in Honduras that are fans. It's the people in the villages who go down to their neighbor's house who has internet and watch YouTubes of what we cover. When I tell you that, and it's a great responsibility, I am completely humbled by it. I never expected this to happen. My cousin, Buckley Hammond, who actually worked on a couple of my early films, Masters of Terror and Road to Tyranny, I hadn't seen him in 5 years. Comes by, and it was my dad's birthday, day after Thanksgiving. And I said, I got to get my dad a present. We got to pick dinner up at my house. We're having a party for him, kind of a surprise party. He's being invited over. Thinks he's babysitting the kids. We're going to have a party for him. So I went to this store to get my dad a watch, and I went to a gas station to get gas, and I went to Rudy's to get barbecue. And everywhere I went, the people behind the counter, the people in line, the people in the Valero gas station parking lot, the people in the watch shop, not just the people behind the counter, but the people in their shopping. Everyone was a listener. Everyone looked at InfoWars.com. I mean, I'd be in parking lots walking in. Hey, Alex, appreciate what you're doing. I'd get inside. People behind the counter, hi, Alex, we love you. Both the people behind the counter, people coming up while I'm looking at watches for my dad coming up. I go to the barbecue place. I'm walking in. People in the parking lot, hi, Alex, death the New World Order. I walk in. I'm in line. People are fans. The people behind the counter. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I can be in England. I can be in Canada. I can be anywhere. I can get off. I can be in LAX. I can be in DFW Airport in Dallas. I can be in the George W. or H.W. Bush Airport in Houston. And literally, it's insane. Now, I'm not here bragging, oh, look, I'm a celebrity. That's not what it's about. It actually has a lot of minuses. The issue is, if I'm a gauge of how awake people are, and InfoWars.com is the number one alternative news site in the world. What's number two? PrisonPlanet.com. If we're number one in radio listeners, and we're on AM and FM and growing, if mainline stations are now beginning to pick us up, big stations in big cities, not just mom and pops, who we love, this is quite a responsibility. But I just want to give you the message here that we're changing the world. By we, you, the listeners of this radio transmission, you are the reason we're having such a big effect. I mean, I had Lord Monckton, Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley on, who, you know, a big British royal, saying world government's here, tyrannical world government, we must defeat them. Off air, I'm talking to him, he says, we need to work together against the global government, against the bankers, and against the Maurice Strong, and against the eugenicists. On air, he's saying it. You know, I've got a TV show that I've consulted on and a part of coming out on True TV, which is actually slanted towards us, not just fair. I mean, it is crazy, but it's common sense. People within the establishment who aren't elitist, aren't globalists, but are part of the system, they're upset with what's happening because for 14 years, I have fought the New World Order. I have read their own documents on air. I have exposed them. I have told the truth because I wanted justice. I never expected this to happen. And now, as everything we talked about came true, because I was reading the TV guide, I was reading the New World Order's own documents. It's like I tell my wife what's coming on at 9 o'clock at night on TV. She doesn't think I'm a genius when it comes on. You know, I tell her, Monday Night Football is coming on at 7, honey. She doesn't flip out when it comes on at 7. I was only going off their own documents. I was doing what anybody else could do. I'm not special. The truth is special. You are special. And I just want to give you a pep talk here. I told you last Sunday, when it was almost nowhere in the mainstream media, that ClimateGate, these government documents admitting the Earth is cooling and that the globalists are in deep trouble and that people are finding out about their fraud, I knew that was going to be big. And it is. It's huge. And the last illusion that the establishment has is that patriots and libertarians and freedom lovers and truth seekers and justice seekers are the minority. We are the majority. So the illusion has fallen that there's not a world government. Now it's admitted there's a world government. The illusion has fallen that the UN isn't a criminal organization. It is. The illusion has fallen that governments stage terror attacks. It's now declassified in many fronts. Over 200 declassified cases. Gulf of Tonkin, one of the most well-known. We are now the mainstream. We have caused a revolution. You, the listeners of this show, more than anybody else, we are the big kahuna here. But it's not Alex Jones. It's all of us together. That's why last week I never popped champagne on air. The audit the Fed bill went out of committee. They got 311 votes to audit the Fed. Bernanke's admitted, you audit it, you will abolish it. And we got the ClimateGate emails and internal documents admitting global warming's all a fraud and it's all a scam. That's why I said, get me champagne. We need to signify that this is a massive victory. And if they blow my head off, we're still winning. Listen, there's nothing they can do. That's the only reason they haven't killed good old Alex Jones, is because they would only underline and highlight everything I've said and done. So I want to salute Charlie Sheen. That guy, what you hear about him in the media is a complete distortion. He works out every day. He drinks coffee. He's true to his wife and his children and is a hard-working, great, intelligent guy who does nothing but study government documents. I wish I could get him to go public about the hundreds of other subjects he's an expert on. I wish, and who knows, he may do that in the future, but he decides what he's going to do. I never push him to do any of this. And that's what's pure about it, is I don't push you to stand up or speak out or warn your neighbors and friends and family. You go with your gut. You do what's right. That is all that matters. But to be able to interface with people like Chris Garcia, who made 20 Minutes with the President, the film, to be able to work with all these people, to be able to talk to all these people of courage and honor and true quality is one of the greatest distinct pleasures of my life. It eclipses everything but the birth of my children. My children come first, but the truth comes second. But my children get their future assured because of the truth and what their daddy does, so it all goes together. The truth is my child. It is your child. We must protect it. We must love it. We must promote it. We must stand for it, no matter what our neighbors and friends and family say. I'll say this before we go to break, come back with ClimateGate and some other news. My radio show on AM and FM, it's much bigger now on internet and web, and you know, total it's probably 5, 6, 7 times bigger than it was 8.5 years ago. But my radio show, when it was anti-Bill Clinton, it got syndicated in 1998. It was on over 90 radio stations. I was going to be the next big thing syndicated across the country. My total victory personally was assured. And when 9/11 happened, I predicted it was going to happen. I went on air. I exposed it. And more than 50%, more like two-thirds, right at two-thirds of the radio stations I was on in Chicago, in New York, in Los Angeles, turned me off. They called. They said, shut up about 9/11 being an inside job. You're off the air. But I didn't shut up because the truth came first. And there are very few people who, in the face of monetary and career suicide, would say no to fraud or the truth. I told the truth. And this radio show is many times more successful now than it ever would have been. So that's a message to you. Tell the truth. Historian, doctor of history, doctor of economics, Webster Griffin Tarp is going to join us to break down ClimateGate. There has never been a bigger scientific fraud except perhaps the Nazis and their theory of race supremacy. We cover that in my film, The Obama Deception and Fall of the Republic. Both of these films are absolutely timely and need to be seen by everyone. By the way, we have a deal going at InfoWars.com on the online video bookstore shopping cart where you get a free T-shirt of your choice. We have a link there. A free T-shirt when you get the film, my newest film, Fall of the Republic, while supplies last, of those T-shirts. And I want you to make copies of the film, give it out to everybody you know. And again, I don't normally talk about how many people, the 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 emails a day we get, the hundreds of letters a day we get, the hundreds of phone calls a day we get, that I can randomly say, hey, sounds like Muse, this rock band, are listeners. Let's call them. Oh, you're fans. We'll have you on the show. Sounds like Dave Mustaine has woke up to the New World Order. Megadeth. Get him on. Oh, my new album's named after your film Endgame. Oh, I'm a huge fan. You woke me up. I'm a Christian now. Oh, well, let's randomly call this person up. I mean, it's crazy that we've reached so many people now that it's just unbelievable. I mean, we're kicking the hind end of the global criminals. You need to discover how much power you've got and how ready people are to wake up now. Ready to wake up today. Ready to hear the truth. Now is the time. Copenhagen Treaty. Obama's always a liar. Just like Schwarzenegger said he wouldn't sign that bill making you register to buy ammo. And he signed it a week later. I told you he would. Obama said a month ago he wasn't going to Copenhagen, so he wouldn't get a big protest for him. Then he lied and said, oh, now I'm going. I told you Obama was going. Just like I told you, they lied and said they wouldn't pass the government takeover of healthcare in the House. They passed it. They said they wouldn't pass, oh, don't worry, we're not going to pass the global carbon tax bill out of the House. They passed it. Now it's probably going to pass the Senate. They do that as a military tactic to tell you that you're winning so you'll stand down. I'm telling you we're winning, but we've got to get involved 10 times more and redouble our efforts to ensure we defeat these people. You know, I thought this week about playing Von Rompuy, the new head of the EU, and all these other global leaders, Ban Ki-moon of the UN, calling for global government. But what's the point? You've seen the front page of your paper call for world government, new world order. Every paper I know of has been repeating it every week the last 6 months. Again, they denied all this existed so they could build it. Now they're admitting they've built it, but saying it's for your own good. It's blowing up in their face because of all their previous lies. Very exciting things are happening right now. Now, on the subject of ClimateGate, if you don't know what it is, Webster Tarpley is going to break it down for you in the next 30 minutes after this quick break. But ClimateGate is, again, covered my film Fall of the Republic. Even though this film came out 3 weeks before ClimateGate, I expose their fake science, how it's a carbon tax to the private banks, how the banks want to destroy industrial societies, Maurice Strong's own quotes. And now, here is the London Telegraph. Climate change, this is the worst scientific scandal of our generation. And it says, our hopelessly compromised scientific establishment cannot be allowed to get away with the climate whitewash. Lord Monckton, shut down the UN, arrest Al Gore. Lord Monckton, former science advisor to Mrs. Thatcher. Anti-climate cult crusader calls for world to rise up against communistic killers behind global warming fraud. He said on air, he quoted Eco-Science Friday that he's read. I said, what do you know about Eco-Science? Oh, their plan to exterminate the population? I mean, he's not the weirdo reporting that. The weirdos is the White House science czar that wrote it. Folks, we're living in the middle of a science fiction movie. This is so crazy what's going on. ClimateGate surpasses global warming on Google as the top search term of the last week. Number one search term, ClimateGate. The truth is getting out. The BBC refused to report on this. Refused to report on this until yesterday, and they decided to report on the investigation into who leaked the emails from the UN Climate Research Facility in Cambria, in England. FOIA request and suits have been filed for more than a decade to get this info. These people are heroes. Taxpayer money paid for this. But I wanted to cover another subject now before we go to break on the ClimateGate situation. Do you have that clip about Dutch Roll Shell calls for global carbon tax? I keep getting emails and calls, and I see these disinformation articles written saying Alex Jones must work for the oil companies. Ladies and gentlemen, I work for the truth. I tell the truth no matter what is going on. We know the earth has a warming and cooling cycle. We know the sun drives almost all of it. We know the sun was heating, now it's cooling. We know that Mars had shrinking ice caps. Now it has growing ice caps. Your SUV isn't making Mars get hotter. Moons of Saturn and Jupiter, same thing. But I keep getting calls saying, you work for ExxonMobil and Shell. Really? Have you seen the magazines? Half the ads in them, if they're not drug ads, are by ExxonMobil, Shell, and others calling for global carbon taxes. Here's Guardian. Exxon chief backs carbon tax. Saturday, January 10th, 2009. Give me a close shot for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Here's Bloomberg. Shell calls for global expansion of cap and trade CO2 programs. And I've got others. New York Times. Shell, cap and trade is a good thing. The oil companies wrote this. Let's play a TV ad by Dutch Royal Shell for it. The oil companies wrote this to shut down the coal companies. Here it is.
Working for a new energy future.
Climate change, energy, and economic recovery are a hugely complex issue, and it will take more than governments alone to solve the problem. Industry needs to provide expertise, and government needs to step up with solid regulatory frameworks that signal where we need to invest to provide good solutions.
Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge.
You know, these morons call me and email me and spam the web saying Alex Jones is working for the insurance companies. He's against the government takeover of healthcare. I can watch C-SPAN and watch the head lobbyist, the spokesman for the insurance companies for healthcare, saying they wrote the bill and saying if it doesn't have big enough penalties for people that don't get insurance, that they're going to be against the bill. That's why there's a $5,000 penalty and 5 years in jail. They take $5,000 out a year on average, 5 years in jail, $250,000 fine. Read the bill. They wrote it. The oil companies are owned by the big banks and insurance companies. They create the money. They want to shut down coal that's not a monopoly. 51% of our power in the West, more than that in Europe, comes from coal. If they shut coal down, then they've got to run it off normal oil. Folks, again, everything you've been told is backwards. Up is down is up, black is white is black. We say 2 plus 2 equals 4. They say 2 plus 2 equals a million. I do not work for the oil companies, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you the truth. We have the internal emails of the chief UN climate organization. It's all a fraud, and we shall not surrender. We shall be victorious, in the words of Muse. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break. Infowars.com. We're simulcasting on live video at PrisonPlanet.tv. Relax. We're going to beat the New World Order, the global corporate crime chiefs. If you just wake up and realize the people have the power, if you stop fighting with each other along the lines of race and religion and left and right and say, hey, I want freedom. I want the spirit of 1776 instead of your spirit of 1984. We're going to come together and we're going to beat them. Just relax in this fight. Slow motion. The enemy can't beat us. We're in slow motion. They're in regular speed. You just pick our shots. As long as we throw those punches, they're going to go down big time. This is the Sunday transmission. We got about 25 minutes left in broadcast time. And Doctor of History, Doctor of Economics, big part of my two newest films, Fall of the Republic and the Obama Deception, is Dr. Webster Tarpley. Now, all these top independent scientists have gone to the original weather stations, gotten their data, and it didn't match what the UN main climate branch at East Cambria was saying out of England. That's the main science group that puts out all the propaganda. And about a week and a half ago, the emails got leaked on WikiLeaks with the documents and the computer code with computer programmer notes about this thing's a fraud. It's getting colder. Here's how you manipulate the data to make it say it's getting hotter. We have the internal emails by Professor Jones, the head of the UN program, saying, how do we hide the decline in temperatures? How do we hide that carbon dioxide comes after warming? We have the head of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, Van Rompuy, the head of the EU, saying global governance by this private group of banks, this new carbon scheme will be a new derivatives to fund world government. So I wanted to get Webster on to talk about this. Then before he leaves us, the dollar plunging, what happened in Dubai, the global dollar crisis, what that means to the average person, why gold is up at $1,200 an ounce cresting right now, where all this is going. I can't think of a better political mind who's been more spot on. This guy is a literal brainiac, a Leonardo da Vinci type, and we're always honored to have Webster Griffin Tarpley on with us. Webster, good to have you.
Thank you, Alex. Happy Thanksgiving.
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving there in D.C.
Indeed.
Now, again, in Obama Deception to Fall of the Republic, you explain this is the greatest scientific fraud after the Nazis, and the two tie together for those that don't know. Give us, in 5 minutes, a boil down of this global cult, this carbon credit, carbon tax cult, and this latest climate gate situation and how big this victory is.
Well, I think it's a turning point in the intellectual and political history of the world in this sense. Back in the 1920s and 1930s, there was a consensus among large numbers of pseudoscientists, quackademics, and charlatans, but many of them had university professorships, that there was inferiority of the races, that some races were inferior, others were superior. They tried to talk about, you know, phrenology, measuring the size of the brain and all sorts of other nonsense. And they came up with this pseudoscience, which was widely considered to be legitimate at the time. And remember, I think this is the moment we've just had. It's like the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, when Jesse Owens won all those gold medals and Hitler was sitting in the stands fuming because it meant that his crazy theory had been completely defeated.
The other black boxer also knocked out the German boxer.
Yes, it was Max Schmeling was defeated by Joe Lewis, I guess it was, right? So this was bad for these racists and their crackpot race science theory. So now what we have is absolutely conclusive evidence of an international conspiracy. My God, it's a conspiracy. There's no doubt. We have the proofs of a conspiracy. These people are, again, they're quackademics, they're charlatans, they're pseudoscientists. A lot of them belong to this hoped-up specialty called climatology, which really did not exist until the 1990s and the coming of Al Gore. You got to remember, Al Gore systematically purged the United States government of anybody who was not a quack, anybody who stood up and said, well, your ozone story is not holding water, it's ridiculous, and your other acid rain, and then indeed this ozone layer business. And
let's not forget, you're going to get into this whole eugenics movement that ran Hitler out of the Britain and U.S., this is their progeny. This whole global warming movement is a eugenical system. So it's the same crew.
Indeed. And the goal of this stuff is indeed genocide. I've just seen a couple of interesting dispatches from the Chinese news agency, Xinhua, New China, where they say there's a hidden agenda in the attempts of rich Western countries to impose carbon limits on the developing world, and that is, of course, to strangle their development. And it basically comes down to this. If you look at the U.S. export price of wheat, corn, and a couple of other things, but mainly wheat and corn, that is what basically determines the level of the world market. And the U.S., of course, has been able to produce these things very efficiently in past years. If you ever got this monstrous cap-and-trade, cap-and-tax bill that Senator Boxer has been pushing and also Waxman over in his committee, if that ever went through, the minimum effect would be to double the export price of U.S. wheat and corn into sub-Saharan Africa, on the wheat, South Asia, and then all sorts of poor places in Latin America where they depend on U.S. corn for the tortillas. we know from the FAO, Food and Agricultural Organization in Rome, that there are about a billion people in these places that I've just mentioned who are on the verge of starvation. If you put through the cap and tax and you double the U.S. export price, at least, as minimum, you will kill several hundred million of that billion who are right now on the edge of starvation. So this is ultra-Hitlerian genocide dressed up as green ideology, concern for the polar bears, concerned about ice caps and glaciers.
And by the way, that's not your opinion. Maurice Strong of the UN states they want a neo-feudalistic system to destroy industrial capacity, and your historical doctorate is in the Venetians. Is this feudalistic model not basically a replay of your own studies?
Well, it's the mentality of the Venetians. I mean, it's ultimately the mentality of the Venetians in this sense. Back in the late 1200s and early 1300s, the Venetians and the Genoese and certain other banking centers were lending money to the crowned heads of Europe, and they were imposing levels of interest, usury, that forced the kings and the rulers to increase the tax burden, the take, so to speak, on the peasantry of Europe, so that the peasants got less and less to eat, and that meant that they were visited by malnutrition and all kinds of diseases that accompany with that. So that by the time the contagion arrived, presumably from the Far East, of the Black Death, there were no natural defenses left, and the epidemic had free rein. Now, that killed about a third of the population of Europe. So we can see that these ghouls, these monsters that are gathering in Copenhagen hope that they can do the same thing. Now, just a couple of things. I think it's time to start demanding a special prosecutor. If we ever needed a special prosecutor, it's now. And you can see of the people that participate in these emails, we have people at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. So NASA Goddard is one place that's got to be investigated.
And again, this is all the three groups used by the UN for the core data that everyone else signs on to and agrees in their own emails, admitting this is premeditated fraud and they know the Earth is cooling.
Yes, and they're talking about they want to fake the dates on emails. They use tactics of Joe McCarthy. They want to destroy the reputations of scientists. There's indeed one email where they threaten violence. They say the next time I see him, I'm going to punch him in the nose. And who knows what that means? That might be serious.
And they talk about hiding the decline and blocking FOIA requests for the raw data.
Right, and they talk about also learned journals, right, the so-called peer-reviewed journals. If there's a peer-reviewed learned journal that publishes material that doesn't go along with this insane party line of these lunatics, then they say we want to demote them so they'll no longer be considered a learned journal, and we can go ahead. So NASA Goddard has got to be investigated.
Stay there. We'll go through the other criminals caught with their own emails and the computer code written into it, fraud. Computer programmer notes, this is fraudulent. Here's how you hide the decline. We have them red-handed. Senator Inhofe's calling for criminal charges, Lord Mocking and many others. We'll get Webster Griffin Tarpley's take on this in the final segment. You don't want to miss.
Yet these problems can be overcome by a joint effort in and between our countries. 2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet. Our mission.
Well, there is Herman Van Rompuy, the new head of the dictatorial EU, saying global government, global governance, the global management of the world built around the carbon tax, a new Ponzi scheme for the bankers that control this whole system. Webster Griffin Tarpley, your comments on that and going through ClimateGate emails.
I have to start by saying what a contemptible, impotent little twerp this Herman Van Rompuy really is. That the idea that they make such a person president of Europe, right, which has brought forward some rather significant examples of humanity, that they give it to this little mouse, it shows how pathetic they are. They can be defeated, right? Any opposition led by Herman Van Rompuy can be defeated. So I think, again, the urgent thing now is to get criminal investigations going at NASA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and all of the other.
That's who the emails come from. Explain to people. These are the paramount group running it all.
Yeah, well, this is your University of East Anglia CRU, the Hadley CRU, the Climate Research Unit, and this is the main input into that intergovernmental panel on climate change with their pompous and bombastic, stupid report from early 2007, which was then used by Al Gore to launch that big campaign of his in the first half of 2007. And it turns out it's a fraud, and it's an international conspiracy, and you can't just proceed as if nothing has happened, which is what these Rompuy guys...
And for those that don't know, the BBC finally broke their week-long blockade and said, oh, we're investigating who stole the data. They admit it's real, and now Times of London, climate change data dumped, the universities destroyed it all.
Yes, well, unfortunately, the world is not controlled by the British Official Secrets Act, which they're probably going to try to use. But now, here's the thing. The Copenhagen conference starts on December 7th. Boy, what a day. Pearl Harbor Day, they start the conference. The absolute imperative is this conference must fail. It must be a stalemate, a deadlock, a gridlock. Nothing should get through. Now, there was already this secret diplomacy by Obama. One of the top oligarchs at the United Nations is this Ivo de Boer. Watch this guy. He's the manager. He's the top honcho of the Copenhagen Climate Conference. And about 10 days ago, Ivo de Boer, B-O-E-R, look him up on the Internet, he had a secret meeting with Obama where they were discussing these fallback positions.
Obama wasn't going to go, but now he's going.
Now he's going to go. And that's another important thing. Obama has to fall flat on his face. He has to be defeated, humiliated, rejected, scorned. The ingredients are there. The Chinese have come up with a kind of face-saving cover, but they will not accept binding carbon limits. India will not accept binding carbon limits.
Only the West must make the cuts.
Well, yes, in effect. The Africans are concerned about getting development aid, and there's no development aid on the table. These governments are all bankrupt. You've even got the island states, the smaller countries that happen to be islands, are also in a strongly critical position. We saw all of this at the last pre-meeting in Barcelona. So there's every reason to think that this can fail. Now, when Obama goes, he's going to promise a 17% cut in U.S. carbon emissions. We have to say loud and clear, all of us, Obama cannot bind the United States. Obama is a lame duck president. His popularity is through the floor. He's collapsing faster than Jimmy Carter. He's got a bigger left opposition coming at him than Lyndon B. Johnson once he announces his war escalation on Monday.
Afghanistan.
On Tuesday, December 1st, he's going to escalate the war in Afghanistan beyond belief. So Obama does not speak for us, and it's really illegal, right? Because this has got to be a treaty. He can't do it with executive agreements. I would warn above all, backroom protocols. Watch out for secret protocols that he will sign with these Eurogarchs and
let me back you up. We now learn there's a secret internet censorship treaty that he won't release. We got copies. Total censorship. They're doing all this by stealth. They're doing this covertly more and more.
And the other thing I would say is the fact that Dubai has now blown up is another...
Yeah, give people some background. Times of London, Dubai in deep water as ripples from debt crisis spread, a 28 billion or 14 billion pound default by the Dubai State Corporation. Again, for those that don't know, that's in the Middle East, the supposed apple of globalization. You said a year ago here, when we had the last crisis, that when Dubai started to go, that was the signal of the next big slide, Webster.
Well, obviously, these are oil sheiks, right? I mean, the oil is not really in Dubai, but it's close enough. These are your emirates of the Gulf, right? The Persian Gulf. So these people rub elbows with Kuwait and Qatar and Oman, but this is specifically the United Arab Emirates, the old Trucial states, and there they are with Dubai, where they have all these gigantic building projects, right? The tallest building, the Sail. They have the Palm. They have the World. These island systems where they build houses and so forth and try to get people to invest in this. This has been collapsing now for about a year, right? The foreigners have been fleeing. So now, between Wednesday and Thursday, $80 billion owned by Dubai World, Dubai Ports Authority, that Bush wanted to take over the Port of New York, and this Nakheel, that is now in default, and this money is owed to Barclays Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, Lloyds, Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, Mitsubishi, Mitsui Bank of Japan, and Citibank. One of the things that may happen is that Dubai will sell the Queen Elizabeth II, which they own, to try to get money to pay off these banks. So now there are two things. If you look at the futures for tomorrow, it looks like New York will open down about 200 points.
Yeah, notice that Dubai announced the default when the U.S. markets were closed on Thanksgiving. And we have the big French bank announcing prepare for total collapse.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's I think these are connected.
What is that? Societe? How do you pronounce it?
Societe Generale, I think, huh?
Yes.
Yes. They've been bailed out by you through AIG, right?
$50 billion.
Tim Geithner made that possible. So now there are basically two things. One is that the U.S. Bubble, which has been created by Obama with the 0% Federal Reserve lending and the bailout money and all this, that this will now experience a panic crash. So panic in New York is one side of it, but perhaps even more damaging. You have all of these emerging markets, which are similar to Dubai. In other words, these hot money paradises. And you can look at Greece, Hungary, Qatar, Turkey, Ireland, India, Russia, Malaysia, down the list, right? All kinds of Estonia, Latvia. These places are all now on the verge of panic. They were already on the verge of panic, and now they may go into panic. Then you have these other places, Ukraine, Latvia, and Iceland, which are basically already in bankruptcy, where this may be enough to push them into debt moratorium, in other words, into a formal default.
And that's what Dubai is calling for. We've only got a minute and a half left, Webster. What about this Russia Today announcement that Russian advisors and equipment are joining the U.S. and coalition in Afghanistan? I've clearly got to have you back up in the next few days on the weekday show.
I wouldn't give that too much significance. I would urge everybody, look at that incident on the Moscow to St. Petersburg Express.
It's a terror attack.
There, the two possibilities there, all the media mention, are it's Chechen terrorism. Well, that's run by the U.S. and the British, so take that back to London and New York. And it could be these neo-Bolsheviks, right, these neo-Nazis, which are supported by the U.S. This is Limonov and his crew, who are together with Kasparov, and Kasparov is the main darling of the United States in the anti-Putin opposition. So there's a grave suspicion that some kind of a warning was delivered, right? Putin has just been on a tour of Western Europe, where he's been getting
calling great for arresting bankers.
Yes, he made these remarks about Madoff, which didn't please the financial types. And significantly, he's gotten the British to come in on the Nord Stream pipeline, and the French have come in on the South Stream pipeline.
So that's right. That Georgian pipeline just got approved.
But the one that's making progress is the Russian one.
Yeah,
because the Georgians. It's not.
I mean, just north of Georgia, into the Black Sea.
South Stream. This is the Russian one. This has got Turkey, Italy, and now,
sure,
and now France. So here's the idea. The big argument against this cap-and-trade nonsense is unemployment. Now, if you go into a second round of the Depression, people are likely to say, look, we can't afford any of this now because we're now...
Clearly, cutting our carbon will kill us, even if it was real, when it's not.
Right. It simply undermines political support for this even more. So there's a great chance to block this Copenhagen monstrosity, and I urge everybody to do everything they can to do that. Above all,
you know what,
Obama,
Webster, hold on. Webster, the show's over in 30 seconds, but 3-hour show with Jason Burmes. He's got guests coming up, but I got a sneaking suspicion he'd like to have you continue for 30 minutes, and the InfoWars.com stream listeners, even if it's not on their local AM and FM, quite a few pick it up. Do you want me to talk to Jason about having you?
To.
Okay, let's get Jason in here. Infowars.com audio streams. You want to hear Webster continue if Burmes makes that decision. He does. He just yelled he wants it. Okay. Webster, this is too important. I'm going to be in there listening to you as we also work on some films tonight. Great job, everybody. Great job, crew. God bless you all. Retransmission starts later.
Have
Burmes.
You ever-